pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney. They didn't have what it takes to be astronauts. They don't fit the foreign diplomat mold. Their computer science careers were cut short. And the banking world still blanches at the mere mention of their names. But when it comes to sports in central Nebraska, they know their stuff. And so without further ado, mostly because we're out of it, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents The Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Basketball is the theme of the day, whether it's high school with the boys' state tournament wrapping up this weekend, whether it's college with all the bracket bubble teams going on right now and the Huskers putting together a pretty good run at the end of the season, or whether it's the professional ranks. Good Lord. Why don't Miami forfeit out, Daddy? Why don't they just forfeit out? That's what they're trying to do. You just heard news from the Heat as they try to forfeit out. Dwayne Wade is done for the season. And, of course, a step above the professional level, the Harlem Globetrotters.
Well, we do have a Harlem Globetrotters
studio.
A real live one in studio. But, Doug, we're going to talk to Hotshot Branch.
Randy Bauer is stepping down as head coach at Pleasanton. We're going to catch up with him. We want your emails. We want your phone calls. 1-888-455-ESPN, or you can email us, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com.
You bring up the Miami Heat. Coach Pat Riley stating, "I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I know what to do. I just don't know where to start." Talking about his team going from winning the NBA title to being non-existent.
Pat Riley.
That's a good one.
He's such a kill. Oh, my Lord. When's he going on tour? Yes. Wow, that's... That's good stuff. Wow. Maybe him and Regis Philbin can tour the Indian casinos up and around the east coast of the nation and just make people chortle.
That's what they would be doing. Douglas, where do we want to get right into the Globetrotters?
We're going to get right into the Globetrotters. We're going to remind you that we've got a lot to talk about down at the Husker-Colorado game yesterday. We've got some Doc Sadler. Sec Henry is going to join us later in the week. I got a chance to catch up with him after the basketball game yesterday. Great kid out of Los Angeles, California. Huskers are just, they're playing better, but they just didn't play well enough in the middle of the season to make the NCAA tournament. This is a team that has a chance to get to 20 wins this season. They need a couple of more to accomplish that, and 20-win seasons in collegiate basketball is what it's all about. Now, of course, 30-win seasons are when you start talking about national championships, but we've got all that. The tournament challenge, the Doug and Daddy Bracket Busters are coming up. We're going to talk about that on the show as well.
But right now, we're going to steer our attention to the Harlem Globetrotters, who are coming to town early in April to put on a show, and we're joined by Hotshot Branch. Hotshot, you actually have a connection to one of the redshirt players for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. You spoke a little bit about that before the show to us.
Yeah, the player name is Alonzo Edwards from Klein Forest High School in Houston. In 2004-2006, I stopped playing for the Globetrotters because of a knee injury, and I was working at a high school and got a chance to work with Alonzo, and now he's here in Nebraska playing for Coach Sadler.
The Huskers, they have so many redshirts that they're waiting on. The fans are so anxious. Going through the collegiate, and Hotshot went to Baylor University. I guess that would have been pre-Big 12. You guys were still Southwest Conference, though, when you graduated in 95.
That's right. I mean, it was a tough league back then. It was more of a guard league. The Big 12 is a lot of big men. They got a lot of power, big men, and, of course, great guards also. And, times have changed, and, the Big 12 is on its way to get towards, like, the ACC before long, But, all these good teams are in now. You never know what's going to happen in the conference tournament. So, Nebraska, I mean, yeah, you had a couple of bumps and bruises, but you must, take care of your responsibility and finish out the season and, come to tournament with your heads up because anything can happen.
Including Baylor.
Including Baylor. And you've got to be very, very proud of this alma mater, a team that, and you said this before, absolute dysfunction as far as coaches go, a turnstile of coaches when you were there.
Right. I mean, we was having problems when I was there, but we was always one of those respectable teams. I mean, teams knew when they came to play us, they had to play. We would always hit that bump with the last 5 minutes of the game, and just the game would slip away from. So we kind of felt like Pat Ryder with the Miami Heat. I mean, we played hard. I mean, it wasn't like we were just coming out there just giving them a game. Just one thing would happen, and it'd just be a domino effect. So you're now of look at the team, it's just, you know, if you stay positive and keep working hard, your season can easily turn around. And look at what Baylor's doing now.
Did you ever have to wait to play like some of these redshirt kids have to do?
No. No, I came right in to play. Well, you know, my freshman year, I came in and I was playing, and then all of a sudden I stopped playing. Now, I never knew what the problem was, the situation, but, you know, I came to practice every single day, worked hard, and then the coach would end up, they fired the coach, so I came in next year. So it's pretty much like my freshman year. You know, my freshman year I played with David Wesley, who was in the NBA at the time, and, you know, I learned a lot of things from him, and a lot of NBA teams would have their training camp at our school, so I picked up a lot of things from Reggie Miller, what's his name, Dallas Shrimp. A lot of those guys pulled me to the side and just, you know, stayed in my ear. And then my sophomore season, you know, I went from averaging 2 points my freshman year and averaged 17 my sophomore season. And it continued to grow each year.
Hotshot Branch of the Harlem Globetrotters joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hotshot, take us through the next decision you made to join the Globetrotters and the schedule that this entails, because it's an amazing, just the number of games night in, night out that you guys play.
Well, yeah, when I left Baylor, I went to Europe, and I went to many other leagues in Europe and Asia, and went to a couple of minor leagues here in the United States, and the Globetrotters called me up, and I didn't expect some of the things that I was displayed to. I knew that they were a basketball team, but most of our time is done off the court. And then when I saw how many games we play, we play Sunday through Sunday, plus travel and practice. So it's, you know, you have no choice but to get better. And we've had guys that come through the Globetrotters and leave here and pursue their career in the NBA. We also had guys that come from the NBA and come right in. So it's an excellent opportunity.
Talk about today's Harlem Globetrotters as they come to the first-tier event center on Wednesday, April the 2nd, 7 o'clock. Tickets are on sale, and we'll talk about that. But the Harlem Globetrotters that we grew up with as kids, you know, Curly Neal, Metal Arc Lemon, the trick shots, the half-court shots, the routine that they go on. What do you guys do, if anything, differently now than maybe what we remember from years ago?
I mean, we still are Harlem Globetrotters, regardless if it was Curly, Metal Arc, all those guys. They laid the foundation, and we just carried the torch. I mean, they was able to pass it on to us. We still do some of the same things, but the game has changed. The genetics has changed. You know, guys are a whole lot bigger, a whole lot quicker, a whole lot faster, more athletic, but we still do some of the things, and plus our creativity has expanded. So you're going to see some of the same things, but a little more flamboyant, a little more creativity, a little more, you know, ooh-ah. So you're going to get everything in our game.
Plus, you still always win.
Well, you know, we always work hard and, you know, practice hard and, you know, end up winning.
There's not just one. There's not eight Harlem Globetrotters. There's a couple teams, maybe one overseas. You guys are on both coasts a lot of the times. Do you mix up the teams, or once you make the team, are you with that group of guys?
Yeah, no, we keep our groups together. We're all one team. We are the same team. We just split up into two groups. And, yeah, it does happen. You'll finish playing a game like here in Kearney, and they'll give you a phone call and say, hey, you're going back to Lincoln to fly to the East Coast and play with that team. You know, a guy maybe may get hurt, or, you know, something may happen. So you got to always, when we're in practice, I mean, we practice. It's not like we come in to a shoot around. We go over the plays so that the young guys can be prepared for situations like that. And, you know, it happened to me my first year. You know, a good thing I was paying attention, and I got in, and I performed well.
Hotshot Branch is joining us. He went to Baylor University, now a member of the Harlem Globetrotters. As we said, they're coming to town on April the 2nd. What's been maybe something that a guy wouldn't necessarily know about the Harlem Globetrotters? You talked about all the things you do off the court, and you talked about all the practice you do. What's something that maybe the folks wouldn't realize that the Harlem Globetrotters do?
Well, I think a lot of people get the whole image mixed up that we're not basketball players. No, we are basketball players. Every guy played in college. That's how we're recruited as basketball players. And that's when we have training camps just like any other team. And it's strictly basketball. We've had guys that come in from the NBA and say, hey, I can't do this. I respect everything you do. Cause first guys didn't respect us. But once they see what we do and how hard we have to work, I mean, the respect level goes up high. Just a lot of things we do. We do a lot of things for charity. We go out to schools, speak to kids. I actually have to go to a school today, Northeast Elementary. And we do a cheer program, and that's to help kids not only pursue that dream, but at the same time, the same effort that you put into your career, you put that into your character, because that sometimes can go further than your career. And we talk about that, and then we go to hospitals. We do a lot of community service, and then we play every single day. So it's not a day off.
Are there months off? I mean, do you get a month off in the summer to relax and rest a little bit?
Well, October. That's the end of September, October. That's more or less downtime. Not too much is going on. But training camp kicks up in October. So we have training camp. We go from November to like mid-September. And that's a lot of planning, a lot of traveling. And after our season is pretty much done in July, August, but we still do camps for kids. We go out to a city and we're there the whole week's time doing hands-on training with the kids. It's not like we make a surprise visit, so we're there putting in the time with the kids.
You guys get to travel all over the world. What's a couple of the spots that you'd never would have been able to go to if you weren't a Globetrotter that you really enjoyed?
Well, after leaving Baylor, I was able to, go play in Europe. So I had already saw a lot of things prior to becoming a Globetrotter. One place that I did go to with the Globetrotters, we went to Bermuda Triangle. That was real nice.
And came back.
And we came back, yeah. Well, you know what? It was creepy because we was in New York. I don't know if y'all remember that big blackout that happened. The whole city blacked out. We had got out like 20 minutes before that happened. And then we get to Bermuda having fun. We had like six games in like 8 days out on the tennis court. We played our games on the tennis court, and it started raining. So all the people left the bleachers. So we still out there hooping and hollering. And they stopped the game. We had to come back the next day and start from that point and made up the game for the people. And then as soon as we got out of there, a big hurricane came through and wiped the whole island out. So we barely made it out.
That's timing.
Yeah.
Timing.
Oh, wow.
The Globetrotters have timing.
Now, another question I have, because I don't know if he could be honorary, but, Daddy, hard to believe, or else it was just the state of Nebraska at the time, was an all-stater. Now that was how many pounds ago and how many brain cells? And
a lot of both.
Can we get him on the court next month, maybe even if it's for the opposition?
That's fine.
What do we got to do? Do we got to send him to practice? Do we got to get him in a?
Well, first of all, you come out there and don't let the red, white, blue fool you. I mean, we can play. We get up and down the floor. So you might want to start with the
struggle.
Yeah, you might want to start. You might want to start with the cardio, because we can move and we play. A lot of when we used to go out and play those colleges, we built up a lot of respect. They expecting us to come in and be about jokes, but they look up at the score, we up 25 points, and we sitting over there laughing. And a couple of games, like the year when Syracuse won the national championship, we went to their school and played them, and we got up 20, so we sent our guy and did the whole dribbling routine, just to let everybody know that, this stuff does work. We did a couple plays that we would run in our entertainment game and got a backdoor dunk on them, and just let people know those plays does work, because people get caught up in that ball handling, and next thing you know, we going to dunk the ball, so it's a lot of fun.
Then if people remember that was Carmelo Anthony?
That was right after he left, yeah. Right. He was gone after that. Magic Johnson came in and played with us, so that was fun.
That's some of the perks. You get to meet some people across the nation like a Magic Johnson.
Yeah, Magic
some
Johnson.
Of you guys looked up to and respected as a player.
You know what? Pretty much every major city we go to, you're going to see some type of face in there that you grew up watching. You watch every single day on TV, especially when we go to L.A. It's no telling who. We brought Vanna White out, in one game, and I was like, can I buy a vial or something? But she had fun. She brought out the great energy, and we had fun with her. Arsenio Hall was sitting on the silent bench. We tried to get him wet, but I guess he knew it was coming.
He'd seen the routine.
And we was in Miami, and Shaquille O'Neal was there with his family, and we kind of passed on that water deal with him. But it's fun. You do get a chance to meet a lot of people. I got a chance to go to the World Trade Center like 2 months after that situation happened. So we was out there. We met the workers and the firefighters. And that was such a, touching moment, sitting on TV and actually being there. There's a lot of places that we've been, I probably wouldn't been with the Globetrotters.
Have you played at the White House or overseas at maybe a venue that was something like that?
Well, we went to 2 years ago. After taking down Saddam Hussein, we went to one of his palaces, in Baghdad. And, yeah, that guy was loaded. That guy was loaded. I was looking at just, you know, just the knob on the door, and I'm like, wow, this is like real gold. I mean, that, and we went over there and played for our, we do that every year. We go play for our military troops. And just, you know, show appreciation and, you know, bring something to them that they normally don't get, you know. And, you know, actually we was at the game playing and a bomb went off. And, you know, of course all the guys, you know, we went crazy. Like, you know, what is that? And then the soldiers laughed. Oh, that's just a bomb. They was nonchalant about it. Like, a bomb? So that was fine. You know, we flew it to a remote location, and then the Air Force came and picked us up and flew us on in. And we played on the aircraft carrier and just had some fun.
It's amazing what the Harlem Globetrotters have done. Still going strong. They're coming to the First Tier Event Center Wednesday, April the 2nd. Tickets are on sale now. You can go to carneyevents.com. You can give them a call, 338-8011. Wednesday, April the 2nd, 7 o'clock, Hotshot Branch, one of the many players that will be at the First Tier Event Center on that evening, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, sir, thanks so much for coming in and giving us some time today. Anything else before we leave you?
There's a lot of things I can tell you about the Globetrotters. I mean, if we can run down the history now, we've been around for 82 years. We started in 1926. This makes our 82nd season. We was the first team to ever display basketball to European countries or places where basketball had never been seen before. We was the first basketball team to do that. Then 02, we got inducted to the Naismith Hall of Fame. So there's a lot of things that we've done. You know, the first African American to sign an NBA contract was here at the Harlem Globetrotters, and the next guy to come through was Will Chamberlain. So it's a lot of things, because back then, during those times, African Americans weren't allowed to play in the NBA. But this was our version of the NBA, and it has expanded. So maybe one day the Globetrotters will have their own team in the league. You know, a lot of these teams, you know, a lot of things happen with these pro players making bad decisions and stuff. And, you know, there's always someone looking for something positive, and we're always ready. You know, if any team want to play us, we're ready.
You know, the NBA players think they have it rough in this grueling 82-game schedule. This is a 458-game schedule. 458
yes.
Games.
Sometimes we play twice a day.
It's unbelievable what the Harlem Globetrotters have done. Your opportunity to see one of the legendary and one of the actually institutions in American sports culture and pop culture, the Harlem Globetrotters. And we're just pleased to have them here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we will be talking more about them and have tickets that we will be giving away to the Harlem Globetrotters coming up Wednesday, April the 2nd at the First Tier Event Center. Hotshot, thanks so much for coming
in. Thank you. You know, everybody come on out and have some fun. It's something for every age. I mean, it doesn't matter your age group, your race, nationality. We all there as one, spread and join. We stay an extra 30 minutes after each game, and we sign autographs and take pictures. So we don't just leave and say goodbye. We always do that. And plus, on our website, you can go in and you can email the players, and we're the ones that respond back. It's not an automated response system. So we're trying to do a lot to stay close to our fan base. The Globetrotters are making their comeback. We're going to be on TV more, Wide World of Sports, that's coming back. Our owners now, which the guys that own Disney, they're doing a lot of things now to put the Globetrotters back to those days of Curly and Metalock. So get ready.
Hotshot, what's the largest crowd the Globetrotters play in front of?
You know what? I want to say the one that we played in Olympic Stadium. We challenged the Minneapolis Lakers and beat them. So, I mean, our games
pretty much. You call them right out to the carpet, and they came, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? They had won the championship, and, of course, the Globetrotters, we had been barnstorming, playing everyone, and we was like, well, how are y'all the world champions, and y'all hadn't beat us yet? You know, we got a good record, too. So, you know, we wasn't respected at that time, and so they played us, and we won. And, yeah, of course, you know, it came out the press came out saying, well, that's not supposed to happen. You know, these are Lakers, these are Globetrotters, you know, two different levels. But, you know, you got to remember, the Globetrotters is more of a choice. It's not a talent difference. It's more of a choice difference. This is what we choose to do. We can play basketball also. And so we came back the next season and played them, and we beat them pretty bad the next time. So, you know. So we always going out, we challenging teams, we challenge a lot of Olympic teams, but, you know, nobody wants to play us. So we just keep doing what we're doing and having fun. We're all in this together, so it's no difference. We entertain and having fun. We wish the best to everyone that's doing this.
Maybe you could be the third man of the ref crew. This whole image of you maybe suiting up and being on the opposing team, I mean, I know they could joke around with you most of the ball game, but maybe you could be like the third ref.
Well, I think I could do that one deal with my arm and then pop the ball up and catch it. I think that's about all I've got to offer.
Well, I got a ball in my bag. We can see that.
We got tryouts coming up right after the show. Hotshot, we'll let you get to the elementary schools. We sure appreciate you stopping in, and we will see you and the rest of the gang on April 2nd.
All right, hope everyone gets to make it.
Hotshot Branch, Harlem Globetrotters, joining us live in studio on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can email us anytime, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, 1-888-455-ESPN. Derek, do you have the web address for the Globetrotters there?
Yeah, they have a website here, the official website, www.HarlemGlobetrotters.com. All the info there, locations, players, everything you want, right on HarlemGlobetrotters.com.
Check it out, folks. We will take a break and be back with more of the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
All right, this has gone far enough.
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, dude, this is really cool stuff.
More coolness in a moment with Doug and Danny at Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Ah, spring. Nature's gentle way of screaming, let's party! And what better way to enjoy Mother Nature's big party than on a new Yamaha motorcycle or ATV from Kearney Yamaha? The guys at Kearney Yamaha have 2008 models in stock and priced right. And hey, with gas prices expected to hit $4 a gallon, you can't afford not to check this out. Don't forget, Kearney Yamaha has changed their hours for the season. They're open until 7 weeknights, noon to 5 on Sunday. So help Mother Nature get the spring party started and save big money now on all 2008 model Yamaha motorcycles.
To make sure you're getting the best custom home value in the Midwest, visit designhomes.com. We have been building homes for over 40 years, and every home includes our energy efficiency package, Kohler plumbing, and a Lennox furnace. Designhomes.com will guide you to the closest of our 19 design centers and will highlight popular plans and homes that are ready for immediate delivery. Before you buy, build, or rent, you owe it to yourself to visit designhomes.com.
Design Homes, your home now.
Doctors of Chiropractic are trained physicians in the art and science of spinal manipulation. They use this training to treat a wide variety of conditions such as neck pain, back pain, headaches, and most sports injuries. For 17 years, Dr. John Klingensmith has provided chiropractic care that focuses on total body wellness. Maybe that's why in a recent Gallup poll survey, 90% of chiropractic patients judge their care as effective. So the next time life bangs you around, see Dr. John Klingensmith at Klingensmith Family Chiropractic. Call for an appointment today, 234-4940.
If you live for Husker football,
go out there and do something about it. Let's go now. Come on.
You don't want to miss Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated Wednesday the 12th at 7 p.m. live at Jersey Sports Bar and Grill. No one is closer to the Husker football team than Sean Callahan. Sean will have a video presentation of all the members of the 2008 Husker recruiting class. And he'll elaborate on how each recruit will fit into the Nebraska system. Seats are limited, so get to Jersey's early. We'll see you Wednesday night at Jersey's, where the game and the grill is always on.
Hi, I'm Bill Thomas with the Phoenix Coyotes. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
Kelly Electric Company of Kearney has immediate openings for full-time journeymen and apprentice electricians. Positions require knowledge in electrical construction, blueprint reading, troubleshooting, and a valid driver's license. Successful candidates will receive benefits including paid vacation, holiday, sick leave, life, medical, dental insurance, and a retirement plan. Wages are competitive and negotiable with no overnight travel. For an interview, please call 308-234-2822.
We'll see sunny skies across the area today as temperatures reach near 57 for a high. Southwest winds will stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. We'll see clear and quiet tonight, down to 27 with a light southwest wind. And looking for sunshine on Tuesday with a high temperature in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
On the Doug and Daddy Show. Again, a big thanks to Hotshot Branch and the Harlem Globetrotters. Folks, contact the First Tier Event Center ticket office, 338-8011. We'll be giving you a chance to win some tickets between now and the date. Really great guy. Got a chance to obviously talk with him a little bit after and then during the break here about what's going on. It's just, it's amazing. You know, I guess this is one of the things, Daddy, I don't know, you looked at the Harlem Globetrotters and you were just in awe when you were a little kid, and then maybe you kind of took them for granted, and so many other things are going on, and I think they're still, every time they come to town, though, you know who the Harlem Globetrotters is, and you want to get your kids out there, and you know who they are, and your parents know who they are. Everybody's grown up, and the kids, they're going to love it. They're going to love it. You're going to love it. Your parents are going to love it, and it's a true family event. Plus, you're going to see some great basketball entertainment. Again, this is one of those things I say, if you sit on your duff and say, oh, there's nothing to do around here, well, if you don't go to this, then I don't ever want to hear you complain again, because this is true entertainment. This is fun stuff. And they're coming up Wednesday, April 2nd.
Well, I think a lot of people out there have the misconception that these guys are entertainers, and they're really not. I think they're there to win first.
Well, in most of the stuff we watch, you know, I remember, you know, Meadowlark Lemon could make half-court shots, hook shots all the time, Curly Neal with the slide dribble, you know, all that stuff going on. That's just a minute out of the segment, and then it's back to playing basketball, and then there's halftime. And then there's other segments, and then it's still a true, real basketball game.
Yeah, they get up and down and play, and he says, you know, we start doing those dribbling deals, and before you know it, somebody sneaks back door, and the ball's thrown up there, and somebody slams it home, and everybody's shaking their head, and they continue to amaze, sometimes twice a day.
Yeah, I've been looking at the roster here, and they got some athletic guys on there, 6'6", 6'7", big athletic guys that look like they can throw it down. They got some smaller guys, some dribbling machines.
And some great names, Derek.
Oh, wow,
of course,
yeah.
We got Hotshot. Pull that.
Yeah, you got to see this here.
You got the roster right off to the side. You got Vader, Airport, Blenda. You got the Big Easy. You got High Rise. You got Highlight. You got Hollywood. You got Slick Willie. You got Scooter Christensen. You know, for all the Scooter fans out there. You got
Tank.
You got Tank Matthews. You got Moo Moo Evans.
Oh, Sweet Pea. Got to get Sweet Pea.
Yeah, Sweet Pea. And now, maybe, Big Daddy.
Yeah. Only 600 people he mentioned during that last break have ever worn the uniform. So
officially, yeah. What can we do with you? What do you think?
No.
What do you want to do with this?
I want to sit and watch them.
What do you think? You might get pulled out of the crowd.
You know.
Here it is, people. You will point at Daddy. On April 2nd, when you go to the Globetrotters, Daddy will be somehow involved. We're getting you involved. We need you involved. Kind of like we're going to be involved this Saturday night at Whoopers and Hoopers going on over at Hastings, and we're going to be talking all Wednesday. Mickey Schaefer from over at Hastings is going to join us, and another great weekend, Whoopers and Hoopers, always the weekend after Boys State basketball.
Doug, and you know, before you get away from that, mention our guests for later in the week. We're going to catch up. First weekend of Big 12 baseball, we will have the Kansas State coach on later in the week. I've confirmed that this morning.
Also coming up, Tony Hobson, Hastings College women's basketball coach, as they head to the NAIA National Tournament. We're going to try and catch up with Carol Russell as well as they get ready for the NCAA tournament. And Seck Henry from the Huskers, Mark Bauer, we're going to catch up with him from UNK Wrestling. Of course, a couple of these people you know, they don't know that yet. But NCAAs are coming up this week as well, and that's just a few of our guests that are going to be coming up.
Douglas, obviously state basketball wraps up this weekend, and overall I thought the crowds were as big of crowds Thursday and Friday that I'd ever saw at the state basketball tournament. I'd never saw Pershing Auditorium that full on an opening round matchup.
Well, C1 was a pretty good competitive field, and congratulations to Hastings St. Cecilia on capturing the C1 Boys State Basketball Championship. There was some good basketball out there. None of the number ones, it wasn't a sweep. There was a lot of, as always, a few unexpected. And one thing I think, Daddy, that you look at, and you can point almost directly at a couple of teams in the area, is sometimes it matters who you play, when you play them, and the matchups on the floor. You take a look at C2, Grand Island Central Catholic and Ravenna, very familiar with one another. And as Bill Gavers told me before the finals, he goes, we had 10 days to prep for Deschler. We only had one day to prep for Ravenna, although, you know, we knew Ravenna, we prepped for them already. We go to the finals and play Elmwood Murdoch, we've had one full day, to prep for them, and that's probably the shortest amount of time you're going to have for any team you play all year in the state finals, which coincidentally I heard an interesting comment that if they're going to keep these consolation games, it might be a good idea to start the tournament on Wednesday, which of course I would love, but would be tough for fans to stick around for 4 days. But Wednesday, Thursday, play your consolations. Friday, you get that extra day to prepare then for the championship games on Saturday. But again, then you had Murdoch and Central Catholic, who probably matched up maybe a little bit better than it had Ravenna went in the finals. Same thing. Fall City Sacred Heart hits a shot at the buzzer against O'Neill St. Mary's to win in the semifinals, and then they can't miss when they take on Pleasanton in the championship game. And, I think maybe a different outcome if St. Mary's wins that basketball game. And you can go up and down the line, Class A all the way to D2.
Well, you bring up, see, you get me started on this consolation games.
Oh, I'm not talking about
the consolation. I understand that in extending tournaments.
Don't talk about the consolation games. We're not talking about the consolation games. Stay on topic.
I understand. I think the matchups do have a lot to do with it. And you can go back to the matchup in D1 and what Wes Eichmeyer created. After the kid scores 24 out of your first 26 points.
I don't think it mattered who they were playing.
You might put somebody on him. You might put two people on him. Unbelievable. Would you give the third grade class come up with a game plan for me?
Now, if I remember right, I believe Eichmeyer had 37 with about 3 minutes to go in the game. And you, in the state finals, had 34. So now, what, nobody was on you in the state finals, which many people believe to be.
You had to put somebody on that guy down low.
We scored 70 points. If you're going to score some points, somebody can have 34. If you're Beatrice and you got 38 damn points, that's pathetic. Have somebody score. Let's play basketball. Did you hear this? I've got the quotes right here. They're talking about
second lowest Class B final since 1947. Something like that.
Mike Fox, one of the leaders for Beatrice, says there's no way Beatrice would have been in the Class B champion without backup Ben Murphy. Murphy, a 6-foot senior, filled in for Fox in the second half of the Orangemen's semifinal victory against Gretna. He filled in against Zach Ruiz from Elkhorn when he ran into foul trouble. Murphy didn't score a point. He pulled down 5 rebounds and had just 1 attempt from the field and 1 free throw attempt in the 3 tournament games. Murphy's in there grabbing, popping people. He really gives us a lift.
Boy, I haven't heard you on this big of a rant since the Hitchcock
County. Well, that's what John Chaney did.
Let's go to the phone lines. I want to talk about something good instead of let your blood pressure get back down. I have no idea what that even meant, what you just said, but we'll get back to it.
That's not basketball. That's what I'm saying. You don't go in there and pop people and play rough. You should have been fouled out.
Daddy's face is so red right now.
Boy, I'd call it Pleasanton red. I'd call it almost red and black because if you keep it up, I'm going to pop you. Randy Bauer, head boys basketball coach of the Pleasanton Bulldogs, joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. We had him on a couple of times this season, including last week before state. But one of the things that Coach didn't want to talk about and put in the limelight, and we said we would respect that and talk about it with it after the tournament, is that he was going to step down at the end of the season. And Coach Bauer joins us now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. It's good to be on the show again.
I'm glad to have you on, and I guess just kind of emotions now that a day and a half have passed after the late finish of your D2 championship game on Saturday.
Well, just looking back at the game, it was pretty competitive in D2. You know, Hampton beat St. Mary's, and Fall City almost gets beat by St. Mary's, and then we beat Hampton, and then Fall City beats us. It's just crazy how that goes. You know, any one of those teams could have probably been the state champion, but Fall City just happened to shoot the ball at the right time, and we were kind of struggling there. So, you know, I think it was a pretty even match, and get out of there with the runner-up is great. We wanted a state championship, but I'll take the runner-up.
Randy, talk a little bit about, at what point in the game were you shaking your head going, would these guys miss one? Just bounce one out? I mean, what point in the game did you just shake your head a little bit?
Oh, toward the end, probably when they were making all their free throws and they still hadn't missed a shot. We talked about halftime. You know, they had shot really well, and we were playing with them at that time, and we got close within 3 or 4 there at halftime. And then I thought second half the win will go our way, and we can come back. We've come back from a lot of big games coming from behind, but they just never did happen.
I thought for me, Randy, it was when you guys cut it from 9 down to 1, and then that you guys played excellent half-court defense on the final play of the second quarter, and Santo hits that fadeaway 3 to kind of give them momentum into the halftime locker room, and that's when, I guess that was the first time I went, this might not be Pleasanton's night.
Yeah, I agree. And every time you see that ball go up there and bounce around, it wouldn't be a good shot, but it'd bounce around on the rim, and then it would roll out. And for them, it'd roll in, and it was just like, well, I don't think it's our night. That's the kind of way she goes.
You have had so much success at Pleasanton, and, of course, the coaching staff and the kids, it's all a team effort, and I realize that. But, boy, to make it into four state championship games in 14 years at Pleasanton, there's a lot of people, except for that stupid Doug Goltz, who's a really good guy, by the way, who's 8-for-8. I guess it's one of those things that there's tradition there, and I guess maybe take us back to when you took over. There was tradition. There's always expectations at Pleasanton.
Yeah, there has been. And, I took over after Jim Martinson, and he had coached me. So I think something that's been very good at Pleasanton is we've had two coaches in like 32 years, and I think that continuity has been very good. We've had great help from our parents getting the kids started at the young age, and then in physical education, getting them started with basketballs and teaching the fundamentals early, and just that process through junior high and then getting up into high school. And everybody's always talking about, you guys got to believe you can win when you get up there if you just have the right tools. And I think those kids buy into that. And then by the end of the season, their junior, senior year, they're usually playing for state or playing for a state championship.
Well, Randy, you're not exactly ready for a rocking chair yet. what went into your decision?
Well, a lot of it was because of my daughters. I have one daughter that's going to be a senior, and my other daughter's going to be a freshman, and I want to go watch their games. And this year, trying to watch my daughter play in the fourth quarter and try to get ready for the tape and ankles and getting that ready for the game, it just was kind of a struggle. I've been here 14 years, and I'm from this town, too, and there's some added pressure to win. I mean, you want what's best for this town, and sometimes you just think there's a time when maybe you should step down, and that's kind of how I felt. And my wife, when the game was over and my daughters come up to me, they just could see there was a load lifted off. I think that's some of it, too,
Randy Bauer, a Pleasanton boys basketball coach, is stepping down after 14 years as the head coach of the Bulldogs. You bring up an interesting point, and I guess from a personal standpoint, I'd be interested to see. It's kind of been I don't know if rough week would be the word, but it's been an emotional week. You had the girls in the state final, your daughter, your sister. Then you guys go through this week at the state tournament with your kids that you've been coaching. That's a heck of a 7 days. What was the roughest part, I guess, of that 7 days?
Well, you just get tired because we missed some practices that we usually have because we usually don't have our girls down here. So I was so excited for them to be down there. I told the guys, we're not going to practice. We'll go on Sunday and then, try to get prepared for ours. But I thought we did a good job on that aspect of it. But, it was just neat to see. I was happy for Coach Pates, my sister, and then for my daughter and how well they played and to get that state runner-up, And that gave the guys some incentive, I think, to get to that game, too, when we went to play. And then also, it's just great for a community to have runners up for boys and girls both in the same year. First time I think our school has ever had boys and girls both qualify for state the same year and then go ahead and go all the way to the final game. I think that's just something, just great about our positive kids that we have. And right now we have some super great kids in school. I mean, there's no discipline problems. They work hard. They're great academically. They do everything. They're in FBLA. They go out for track. They go out for basketball. They can play volleyball, football, and that's what a little school is all about.
Randy, in 14 years of just the game, I look at it and say the physicality of the game has just immensely changed. In your mind, what has changed in 14 years on the floor?
Well, I'd say the physical aspect, and I think the defense has got a lot stronger than what it has been in the past. And it's just a rougher game, Sometimes I think if you have an advantage, like with our big guys sometimes, a smaller team can take that away from you if they can really, hound that big guy. And if they're letting him play physical, it makes it tough. And then if the big guy retaliates sometimes, he's big, he's bigger than everybody else, so he gets the foul sometimes. And I think that's kind of disappointing, that I've seen probably in the last few years. For the most part, most of the games that we see are more fast-paced, up and down the floor. I think when I first started, it was more deliberate. I think it's kind of going back to that a little bit. The more you saw that with Beatrice and you saw that with Hampton and Fall City, they're more a deliberate team. They run their offense. They work it, they work it, they work it till they can score. And that might be a little bit of a change that's coming down the road.
Randy Bauer, head boys basketball coach at Pleasanton, joins us for another minute before we get him back to class. Randy, as you take a look at the future now of Pleasanton, down to D2 this year, is that where Pleasanton is going to stay? Is there going to be some kids coming up? But what's the future of Pleasanton boys basketball hold?
Well, we're going to stay at D2. I don't think our population here at the school is growing any, so we're going to probably stay at that D2 level, which I think we can compete. I think down the road we'll be back at the state tournament. We're going to rebuild next year, I think. That'll be something that we open up against with Axtell and Loup City, who have a lot of people back, but I think the kids that are coming back, they played hard. They pushed our seniors every practice, so they're going to be right up there. And I don't know who will be coaching them. You know, hopefully Bill Giffen will be, but if not, whoever that might be, you know, they'll have some success there. And I think the program will just keep on going.
Coach, how hard is it to recruit out of Hazard and Riverdale?
It's pretty tough. That's one thing about us. We have to work with what we have, you know, at a small school where some places, you know, they can recruit a little bit more. And some of your parochial schools, you know, who knows how they get the kids they get.
Randy, would you, we've got you on here. The season's over. Things are moving on. Would you like to comment on the officiating in the district finals?
No, I better not. You said enough about that. I'll let you talk about that.
Well, Randy, it's been a pleasure working with you, and hopefully we can continue to do so. And if you decide to get back in the coaching ranks, we'll look forward to that. Best of luck to the team and to your kids. And, again, it's just been a great season, and we wish you the best of luck in the future.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Randy. Randy Bauer, head basketball coach of the Pleasanton Bulldogs, stepping down after 14 years. Good time. They always have some big kids down there. Jason Brown and Gabe Zwiener were sitting in the front row. I asked Gabe, I said, what are you sitting in the front row for? He said, more leg room. So I know you, Daddy, I know you can handle
well,
that. But
he'd been there 14 years, and Kyle Hayner at Kearney would have loved to have had – five.
Well, he still would.
Yeah, I mean, there was
there's a lot of teams that would like to have a big guy.
Well, but I mean, you're talking about a town of 30,000 to a town of 8. I mean, and what Pleasanton's had has been just amazing for the amount of people that they come from.
How do you think they do that?
It's water. It's the cucumbers they grow in the backyard.
I think so.
And I think
fresh maters.
Fresh maters. There you go.
That's right. Got to have some fresh maters. We're going to take a break here, and before we go into that break, did I do something with the new sponsor we had here, Derek?
I think I don't know.
Did I miss it? The Dent Popper,
Dent Popper
folks.
Yeah.
They are the new sponsor of the Doug and Daddy Show inbox. So we would love to get your emails, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com, and we welcome the Dent Popper aboard as one of our newest sponsors. What? I have no idea. Did you take it? I'm blaming you. I have no idea where it went. I can't believe it would be lost in this finely tuned desk. Finely well kept, haven't put a piece of paper on it in 5 days desk. How is that even possible? Let's take a break back after this.
You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent.
Doug and Daddy will get right back to you.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Networks firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Networks firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
I'm Ryan Howard, and this is Practice Pop-Ins.
Heard you guys are getting ready for the season, so I snagged some Adidas gear from Dick's Sporting Goods. Want some?
Yeah.
Who's the 12? Where's the lefty? It's cool if I work out with you guys today?
Hey, are you guys kind of surprised?
Yeah. Who wants to be a star? Let's make it happen.
There you go.
Boy.
Everyone hits cleanup. One thing I learned in college, on a low pitch, is you want to try and swing down to get it to go up. You notice like a game of opposites.
I'm Ryan Howard. Check out the exclusive Adidas baseball gear only at Dick's Sporting Goods.
I'm Doug Duda with the Sports Minute on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Three home games for the Tri-City Storm this week, a makeup with Sioux City Tuesday night and Friday Sioux Falls, both at 7:05. Then a Saturday afternoon matinee against Des Moines at 3:05. The UNK women's basketball team on their way to Vermilion, South Dakota for the first round of the NCAA tournament. They'll take on Fort Lewis on Friday. The Hastings College women's basketball team will play Thursday afternoon at 2:15 against King College of Tennessee in the opening round of the NAIA National Tournament.
Big 12 Conference basketball tournaments begin this week. The Nebraska women play Kansas Tuesday night at 8:30. The Nebraska men play Missouri Thursday at 6. The UNK wrestling team is at the Division II National Championships this weekend in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The Huskers will head to the NCAA Championships next weekend. In baseball, Hastings will host Northern State Monday and Tuesday, then head off on their spring break trip to Oklahoma. UNK will host Wayne State Wednesday. Colorado School of Mines comes in this weekend. Nebraska hosting Northern Colorado today and South Dakota State Tuesday.
Hi, I'm Justin McBride, PBR World Champion. You're listening to the ESPN Radio Superstation, 1460 and 1550 AM.
We'll see sunny skies across the area today as temperatures reach near 57 for a high. Southwest winds will stay from 5 to 15 miles per hour. We'll see clear and quiet tonight, down to 27 with a light southwest wind. And looking for sunshine on Tuesday with a high temperature in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 30.
Another one bites the dust. Doug and Daddy's show, again. Another one bites the dust. Visit the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Dent Popper, home of the Armor Lining, whether it's a truck bed or boat, Jeep, or even a golf cart, Dent Popper can protect it with a spray-on bed liner. Stop in and talk to Scott or Joel today for a free estimate. We go to the Dent Popper inbox, the first Dent Popper inbox email. Remind Daddy that last year in the conference finals, LeBron James scored 20-some points in a row against a very good Detroit team, and Detroit lost, and these guys and coaches are pros. Referring to your Wes Eichmeier rant.
All I'm saying is the decision to stay in a zone and all you got to do is reverse the ball. He takes one kid, one dribble to his right and spots up and drops his 14th field goal of the game, his 15th field. Why weren't there a triangle and two and tracing him all over the floor?
Humphrey St. Francis is just a terrible basketball team. You know, they had two losses all season long.
Well, they must have played a weak schedule. That's all I got to say about them.
The coach at Humphrey St. Francis, Eric Kessler, who has done some good things, by the way, including thumping Axtell in 2006 in the championship game. Sorry, Axtell, that wasn't a shot at you. I'm just saying that they went and run the table. Bergen ran the table, and the coach Kessler said at halftime, it was 21-20. They were keeping him in check at half. When you make adjustments, Bill Callahan, they were making adjustments. On the other side.
They were keeping him in check?
He had 19 of the 21. No.
Oh.
I said they were keeping them in check.
Okay.
21 points. I'll tell you, it doesn't matter who's scoring if you only have 21 points and a half, and Daddy doesn't want to see 21 points and a half. And some of these points were down the stretch when it didn't matter. The game was over from the 9 to 13 point. He got the last in trash time, which is great. Fine. He deserved it. He should get the record. I'd left him in there. No problem. No problem with that. But
he's an excellent ball player.
They held the team to 56 points.
It would have been my game plan to let Larry, Moe, Curly, and Joe beat you instead of him.
You know what? There are some coach openings around here. You want to? Go for it. Let's go back to the Dan Popper inbox here because Ken says, I watched most of the Boys State basketball tournament. I did not see D2. It was past my bedtime. Which, yeah, for some reason, the boys game tipped off 40 minutes later than Pleasanton girls last week. I don't know. I only saw one truly great basketball player, Wes Eichmeier. The Grand Island Central Catholic freshman looks to be very good someday, which I believe would have to be Turner Fahey. My question is, why did Wes get away from Nebraska?
Wes got away from Nebraska because in the Big 12, I'm not sure Wes, the physicality of the Big 12, I think would be overwhelmed. We're going to see in the Big 12. Do I think he'll be a different?
He's going to Iowa State. Yeah. That's Big 12.
Yeah. We're going to see.
I think it happened in transition, though, Daddy. This is Doc Sadler's second year. Eichmeier committed to Iowa State before Doc Sadler was ever here. It was the tweener time. So, I mean, I think that's one reason that he committed to Iowa State, but at the time, you know, Iowa State didn't exactly, you know, they weren't 12th in the Big 12, like, or 11th, I guess, like they are now.
And Ken, if you watch most of the basketball, did you not see Josh Jones, Jarrell Creighton, put on a show in the Class A game? Put on a show. One of the best basketball games of all tournament.
We'll take a break and be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Oh, it's Class A. Doug doesn't want to talk about
it. No, I want to talk about Class A, but we got another break back after this.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
We turned down the volume on all the radios in the building during this hour so as not to irritate the boss.
look burning up the runway?
Mesh.
Sexy.
Mesh.
Fitted.
Mesh.
Mesh is the new.
Mesh.
Mesh tops, mesh trousers, und flats. I'm wearing the mesh tube socks right now, and they're not on my feet.
Sure, you can be that guy. Or you can be yourself. Start by pulling on a pair of comfortable Jockey underwear. Look for Jockey at a local retailer or shop jockey.com. And feel free.
Quiznos presents the Prime Rib Ranchero. Slices of tender prime rib. Ooh. Piled high with fire.
Roasted.
Poblano.
Peppers.
Tangy chipotle mayo.
And pepper jack cheese.
Cheese and mayo.
The bold taste of prime rib ranchero. A sandwich this over the top deserves a commercial. This over the top.
Quiznos, love what you eat.
At participating locations for a limited time only.
This Saturday, a big day at Prairie Hills Golf Course.
$40,000.
It is the Prairie Hills Golf Course new member open house. Everyone invited. 10 in the morning until 9 at night. Free snacks, half-price drinks. Check out the membership options and opportunities. Visit with Curtis, Kurt, and Nick. See the new Prairie Hills. It's supposed to be beautiful in the middle of the week here. Some very nice temperatures. Maybe not overly beautiful temperature-wise, but it's going to be good enough to go out and see what's going on. You can check out the simulator. And today is...
Oh, it's Half Price Monday!
That's right, $10 for 18 holes. Play virtually any PGA golf course as you get ready for the warmer weather. You can call for a tee time today at Prairie Hills Golf Course, located just 10 miles north of Kearney on Highway 10. Remember, also as part of the new member open house, you have got, that's right, the $40,000 hole-in-one contest. You can find out more about that as part of the new member open house on our website, ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Click on the Prairie Hills ad.
Doug, I got to make mention of this. There's an organizational meeting for all boys grades 9 through 12 interested in playing American Legion baseball this summer for Runza Thursdays, Post 52, or Five Points Bank Tuesday, March 11th. That's tomorrow night, 7 p.m. in the math area at Kearney High School. Parents are also encouraged to attend. So 7 o'clock tomorrow night in the math area at Kearney High School, American Legion baseball meeting.
Do you know what today is?
Yeah, I'm eating an apple.
Yes, you are. You're actually eating healthy and because it's free. It's the first annual National Registered Dietitian Day. They brought it into the Doug and Daddy show, but I think that was just a reason to stick it in front of you, a nice little Easter basket, if you will. You know, registered dietitians are the food and nutrition experts, and when you need trusted, accurate, timely, and practical nutrition advice, seek the services of a registered dietitian at Good Samaritan Hospital's Healthy Living Center. I want to say thanks to Sue and Chris and all the gang. You can call them anytime, 865-2640. Daddy, happy National Registered Dietitian Day.
Well, Sue says, put it in front of that heart attack waiting to happen. They give us a box of apples.
He's already had four apples.
Who's that? Gee. Four apples, some grapes, three bananas. Hey, boys basketball, as we've been talking a little bit about, did wrap up this weekend. And to talk with us about the end of the boys state basketball season, Riley Jane Hamilton, prep editor of, well, let's see, again, yes, prep editor. I think I said the right thing, of the Lincoln Journal Star. Riley Jane Hamilton joins us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Good morning, Riley Jane.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Okay.
And I use that term loosely.
Yes, you will. And remember, all video surveillance is 24-hour wipeout, so just remember that. I want to go. I save this because I just have a comment. Everybody thinks Doug is anti-Class A, and I don't know where that necessarily started. I will say I didn't grow up in a Class A community. I think, you know, Class A, because it's the biggest class, obviously gets more coverage, and with Lincoln and Omaha, it's Class A. That's the way it should be. I understand that. But then some people get violently pointed towards me, like my co-host, that I really hate Class A. Well, let me tell you two things, Daddy. 6-for-19 from the free throw line, and a play at the end of a Class A game that even a junior high coach wouldn't have called when you're down three with no timeouts and you get a layup and let time expire. So let me just say that about my thoughts on the Class A final. Riley Jane, your thoughts on the Class A final.
Well, you know, some of the other games weren't terribly high scoring, and there were some real faux pas. I will say that was not the play that Jason Ryan had talked about with his team. But because of what Eric Behrens did coaching Central, it made what they wanted to do impossible. Eric talked about what the only thing they were going to do, they made they called it their three zone, and it was the arc array. It was they zoned the arc, the 3-point line, and made it impossible. Now, when someone came flying in towards Creighton, he got the inbounds pass. There was the defender right there. You know, maybe he gets called to the. But if they can't inbound the ball and get a 3-point shot, then you aren't going to be happy with that either. So they took that and hoped that they could maybe. And actually, Central did inbound the ball. So there was, you know, these are kids. They didn't do exactly what their coaches wanted them to do at the end of the game because it's the heat of the moment and things didn't develop exactly the way that it had been described. You know, certainly the free throw shooting, yeah, that was an abominable performance. The thing of it is that Bellevue East had been a pretty good free throw shooting team all season long. It just fell apart at the wrong time.
Riley, I'd say 79-78. No other points were like that were scored in any other class in the state. That's basketball, up and down, scoring some points.
You know, we had a lot of discussion about the scoring this year, obviously. And, you know, I told Jim Weeks, who, you know, certainly he's a believer in having a very controlled situation, very controlled team. And he's got state championships to prove that his decision is... what he told me is, you know, the kids want to win, so I have to find the best way for them to be able to win. Given the talent pool and what everybody in Class B does, that sort of thing. That's what these coaches are trying to do. Has it become more of a chess match? Yes. Has it at the collegiate level? Yes. Even in the NBA, we don't see the scoring that we used to see, and that, they don't even have rules in the NBA. So that's enough of that. We aren't even going to discuss that game. So, you know, I think that's we certainly have a trend now that defense wins championships, and that if you control the ball, then you're going to be able to control the situation. And we're going through that right now. We've had times in our history here in Nebraska in high school basketball where kids just flew up and down the floor, whether it was Class A or Class D.
Riley,
right now we have a defensive mindset, and that's what it's going to be.
Riley Jane Hamilton, the Lincoln Journal Star, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The winter sports season concluded with the boys' state championships on Saturday. Riley Jane, of all classes, what was your biggest surprise of the weekend?
Ah, boy, that's hard because I actually, you know, certainly my number ones did not fare terrifically well. Creighton Prep got beat, Scott got beat, Pierce got beat, Ravenna got beat, and Ewing got beat. So actually one of my number ones won. Archbishop Bergen went wire to wire. But, you know, the thing of it is that in all of those classes, we knew that there were other teams that were very, very good. I would have to say, though, that Creighton Prep getting knocked out first round was a big surprise, except that it was Lincoln High that did it. And once again, you have a coach who is very detail attentive, and Russ Ewing does a great job. So the fact that he had his team prepared to play that, great. You know, seeing 1, 2, 3, and 4 in C2 get knocked off by the two teams that ended up in the championship game was kind of a surprise because C2 had kind of settled in pretty well in the ratings this year, and so that one going topsy-turvy was probably the biggest surprise to me.
Riley, talk a little bit about Wes Eichmeier. You've got a chance to see him numerous times. Great player. I don't think anybody's arguing that. I thought perhaps in the state finals maybe we would have saw a double team once or twice, but that didn't happen. How will his game translate to the Big 12 level in your mind?
You know, actually, I think he'll translate real well for Iowa State, and I'm not saying that he's going to come in and be a starter and be a star, but I think he has very, very quick hands. His defense improved just tremendously this year, so they can bring him in to do that. He is such a quick shooter, too. He doesn't need a lot of time, and his shots were pure. I mean, you know, the term nothing but net, I think, was invented for his 3-point shot. It's uncanny. He doesn't need a shooter's bounce or a shooter's roll most of the time because the sucker goes straight down through the net. And that's amazing. And that's something that, because it's a quick shot and he's so accurate, I think that he's going to be able to. Certainly, he's going to have to bulk up some. He's a slight young man, and he's going to have to, you know, put some muscle on so that he can go through the rigors of a Big 12 season. But they're not going to be asking him to bang with the big boys. So, you know, I really think that his game does translate very well for what is going to be asked of him.
Riley, just want your thoughts. Class A, Josh Jones, Jarrell Creighton, Antoine Smith, a lot of great athletes. I tell you what, the first round game when Ralston played Bellevue East, I thought Greg Smith held his own with everybody on that floor.
Greg Smith is a very, very good athlete, and he did some really nice things. Actually, he may have played one of his better games of the year as far as control and discipline and all that sort of thing. And I shouldn't say of the year, of the ones that I saw him play. So that was impressive also that he, you know, kept his head and did some good things for his team. And certainly he played very, very well. I thought so. You know, there were a lot, just, it's kind of funny, certainly Josh Jones and Antoine Young, because they're, you know, Division I Creighton recruits, they get a lot of notoriety. And, but, you know, actually, aside from them, I'd have to say, well, and obviously Eichmeier in D1, but I'd have to say that Class A had its fair share of good big men, and I'm not talking about, you know, no, they weren't 6'11", and no, they weren't aircraft carriers, but they were kids that really gave their teams good inside games. Obviously, I think Creighton is one of the best of the bunch in that situation, but I thought that R.J. Rhodes did exactly the same thing for Kearney, just played really, really well down on the block and gave them good play. You know, Dylan Flynn for Lincoln High, he's a sophomore. He has lots of room to grow, and we'll see that in the next 2 years. But, I think we saw some really good big men this year, and it wasn't just Class A. You've got Mike Fox and Josh Lynch and Jake Grinders in Class B. I think it was kind of neat to see that the big guys are doing well. And, of course, all eyes are going to kind of be on Elliot Eliasson from Shadron, the 6'11 kid who – you know, has drawn a lot of interest and certainly will draw some D1 interest in the coming years. But, you know, I just really felt like we had some very solid big man play this year.
And I talked to Tina Martinez, who's assistant coach at Central Catholic, as they get ready for their Heartland Hoops Classic. And it looks like Central Catholic will play Shadron in that next year. So some folks who maybe haven't had a chance to see him, you know, you're looking for your next Jesse Carr, Wes Eichmeier, small class kid that you want to watch, and you may get a chance to see him next season. We've got one more email. I just will swing this out while you're on the line here, Riley Jane, and I know this is a topic maybe for a whole show, but Tom sent us an email at the Dent Popper inbox who says, I agree with Daddy. If you don't score at least 40 points, the state championship should be vacated. That has to be a lot of fun to play that style of basketball. But more importantly, on another topic, he's wondering if Grand Island Central Catholic took one for the team, because if they had won, the lower class champions would have been St. Cecilia, Central Catholic, Archbishop Bergen, and Sacred Heart. If that would have happened, how long would it take for the public schools to approve the 1.3 multiplier for classification?
How fast can you dial?
Is that off the... Last I heard, that's kind of off the table right now, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think for good reason. There are some things that could be done a lot differently than this multiplier. If they're just talking about, you know, don't just multiply things. Everybody, in order to get state aid, you have to classify students and that sort of thing. And so if your school happens to have the public schools tend to claim that they have more special needs students, and certainly that those are young people who are probably not going to be in the mix athletically, but they are counted against their numbers in classification. Well, then let's just change. Don't multiply students. Let's just define the areas where you don't have the likely participation, and cut them off the top. You know, I think there are some things that we can do that would handle that sort of thing that would be better than the multiplier. I don't think the multiplier is a good idea. I think it is fractious, and I think that it can only get us into deep pockets of trouble that we can't avoid if we do other things.
Well, Riley Jane, we sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show to wrap up the state tournament and wrap up the season, and we'll be looking forward to the all-state teams.
All right. Thanks very much, guys.
Take care. Riley Jane Hamilton, the Lincoln Journal-Star, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You know, just congratulations to all the state champions. We were joking off the air. I'm trying to make contact with Hastings St. Cecilia and Coach Mike Alsman, and I said, you know what, I want to talk to the guy who was doing the coaching. And that's what we're trying to do.
We're not sliding anybody.
We're not sliding St. Cecilia. I'm just trying to get somebody on. It's just, it's been mentioned all week long. And, of course, right here in our backyard, we've known about it all year long. It's just been a weird situation. And I think just credit to everybody in the inner circle, because I think it's the outer circle that messed it up. It's the inner circle, those kids staying together and practicing hard and playing hard and taking direction from the kids that came in, and that's what they are, kids, as assistant coaches, and doing a great, great job there at Hastings St. Cecilia. I mean, look at what they did. Look at what they did. It's gonna, you're going to look at that record and say they're 23-2, and automatically you're not going to call them one of the great teams from the area of all time. I'll tell you what, most of these kids are going to be back next year. St. Cecilia is that prime team, I think, that people need to be looking at to play a Class A or a B team next year. I mean, we've been looking for this, and we're talking to Tino Martinez a little bit. Get St. Cecilia against a Class A team. That's the next one. Because I think that they would like to take the challenge, and they've got the kids to do it.
Well, who are you going to play in Class A? You going to play at Kearney, at Grand Island?
Well,
it would be 42-36. One team would win, one team would lose.
How entertaining was Bellevue-West Ravenna? I rest my case. I will rest my case on that forever. That was an entertaining game.
That was basketball.
And if you play it at the Heartland Classic, you don't have to worry about the Class A team saying, well, you got to come to our place. They're going to have an event to play in. It's going to be a big deal. Let's do this. Let's get this going.
But the style that Hastings, this is my opinion, it's, I'm 49.8% of this talk show, so I can have my opinion. If you're going to play a basketball, Hastings St. Cecilia is not a team that wants to get up and down the court and score 68, 75 points. When Pierce locks you up and grabs and holds
you. They could play Beatrice? Is that what you're
saying? They could play Beatrice. That'd be a great game.
You know,
somebody would win 44-38. I don't know if they could beat them.
For the record, Hastings St. Cecilia averaged 63 points a game this year.
Perfect.
63. So what do you want? In the postseason. In the postseason against good teams. 56, 62, 62. And then you get to the state tournament. Might have been a little bit different. Might have been a little bit different. And that doesn't necessarily make it St. Cecilia's fault. They put up 50 points in the state championship game. I don't see anything wrong with that. They put up 58 in the first round game. Now, obviously, 46-36 maybe not be what you're looking for, but whatever it takes to beat number one, I'll take. I think you're off base with this one.
I think a lot of their games were a race to 50. They got beyond that, it was a 17-point game. Defensive average was 40. They got to 50. It was a 12, 14, 16-point game.
You know,
they're shooting
Daddy's,
free throws at the end.
With Daddy's disdain for defense, I'm surprised you don't like the NBA, big guy.
I don't have... Defense should...
Or hockey.
See, here's where people get off base. I like defense, but defense should turn into transition points and up-tempo style play. That's what's wrong with it.
Wow. That could be like the best point you've ever made. He actually came off, you know, he actually came off the rope and threw a pretty good haymaker there and connected.
I think he just lopped my head off with that one. That's pretty good.
Hey, speaking of the storm, Derek, you were there. Mario Lamoureux becoming the all-time leading scorer for the storm.
Yeah, he had two assists on Saturday night, and with the first assist, it made him the all-time points leader for the storm. So congratulations to Mario Lamoureux. The storm get two big wins, 4-1 Friday night, 5-1 Saturday night, over Green Bay, Sioux City in town for, on a Tuesday makeup game.
Is that like Kevin Costner's character getting the minor league home run record? Which,
kind of.
For some reason, that just escapes my head right here. You got that? You got that? Can you think in Bull Durham?
Yeah, well, I don't know. That'd be
Crash
the goals.
Davis.
That'd be
Crash
more the
Davis.
Goals.
Crash Davis. See, I needed a minute for your ranting to get out of my head there and clear things out.
Douglas, well, you know what? We've argued a lot today, but everybody gets along on this program. Nebraska baseball improves to 9-2 over the weekend. Got a chance to make it 10-11-2 after the two games. One today, one tomorrow. You look at what the pitching staff has done yesterday. Dan Jennings, Nisseth, Anderson, Thad Weber, and Mr. Herb. They've got their pitch count and then the strikes. 90 pitches, 54 strikes. 27 pitches, 13 strikes. 12 pitches, 7 strikes. 60%, 60%, 58%. Thad Weber, 65 and 72%. You're getting the ball around the plate, putting the pressure on the batter. Nebraska's got a chance to be an awfully good baseball team if they can stay around that zone. They played those games in 35-degree weather with 17-mile-an-hour north winds.
UNK 1-3 this weekend. Hastings College, they postponed it to today and tomorrow. The softball was called off for Hastings. UNK went 2-2. Also, coming across here in just the last few moments, UNK's basketball game against Fort Lewis women Friday night, Vermilion, South Dakota, at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock tip time. Tickets are on sale. You can find out more by contacting the UNK ticket office, where you can also get your Elite 8 tickets. The UNK men saw their six-year streak of making the postseason come to an end, but you know, I still say going 16-12. With what they had to overcome, quite the deal. We'll talk with Tony Hobson about Hastings women later in the week. Alex Marich, second team All Big 12.
Boo.
You know, there was just a couple of games, maybe early, maybe it was Kansas that kept him off the first team, but I look at the guys on the first team and I wonder, you know, Alex Marich carried Nebraska. They were picked 10th, they finished 7th. You know, and he was preseason All Big 12. I don't think Alex Marge did anything to downgrade his grade here. Curtis Jarrells, Baylor. Daryl Arthur, Brandon Rush, Kansas. Blake Griffin, Oklahoma. And then Michael Beasley, the Player of the Year, DJ Augustine of Texas. Those two were unanimous. So there was a tie here somewhere. They actually have 6 on the first team. So it's not like he was 7th or, you know, close. I mean, he missed it. And I was a little surprised. Beasley, the Player of the Year. The Coach of the Year, Rick Barnes of Texas. Okay. The Freshman of the Year, Michael Beasley. And then here's the interesting thing I get. Here, this ought to make you feel happy. The Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Dove of Oklahoma State. The Defensive Player of the Year. 6 members on the first team. Is Marcus Dove on it? No. He's a senior, by the way. Second team, is Marcus Dove on it? No. Third team. Is Marcus Dove, the Defensive Player of the Year, on it?
Oh, he's not.
No. Honorable mention, Marcus Dove, Oklahoma State. If that doesn't just cement your argument, then I don't know what does. Oh, my Lord.
How was the pregame for yesterday's ballgame, Douglas, which you guys attend?
It was emotional for Alex Marich.
Only senior on that team, and obviously carrying the team, much was made out of that, playing the Australian National Anthem and getting notes read from his brother-in-law passing away, and then comes decides to remain playing basketball and what have you. But nonetheless, Nebraska takes on Missouri 6:30 Thursday night.
Well, if you missed any of today's program, which included a chat with Randy Bauer, who's stepping down as the boys' basketball coach at Pleasanton, Riley Jane Hamilton of the Lincoln Journal Star recapping the boys' season, or our new favorite Globetrotter, Hotshot Branch, who joined us in the first half of the program, log on to the Doug and Daddy podcast, ESPNSuperStation.com. Derek has it up about 10 minutes after the show or any of the previous shows over the last couple of months. ESPNSuperStation.com, Doug and Daddy podcast, brought to you by Cunningham's Journal and The Loft. And we want to thank Hotshot Branch, Randy Bauer, and, of course, Riley Jane Hamilton for joining us on the show today. Tomorrow, Tony Hobson of the Hastings College Women. Among our guests later in the week, Mark Bauer, Carol Russell, Sec Henry. I think we might catch up with Sec tomorrow on the show as well. Daddy, happy National Registered Dietitian Day.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm going to have another apple here as we get out of here on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio 1460 and 1550, our friends in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal. the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Great.